Just thinking back to an experience that I had many, many years back when our family were much younger and we were having a short break down at Ballina. And Teresa was walking on the rocks and Emma was quite young and we had our disabled daughter Melanie. And so Emma and Melanie were on the beach with me. And our son Shane was, our son Cameron was much further out in the water. And I was keeping an eye on him while always watching the two littlies behind me. Then I noticed that one time as I turned around to look at the littlies behind me, then I looked back to the water, that Cameron was a lot further out than I had seen him before. In fact, initially I couldn't even see him, because people who were swimming toward the shore, and there were just some folk further back, and I was looking amongst those around this shoreline, and I just couldn't see him. Because I couldn't see him, I noticed and I felt a fear beginning to rise up within me. Then as I began to look further back and further out, I could see him, and he was a lot further out, and there was no one near him. And I found that I was trying to pray, and I was trying to find the right words just in my own heart. I wasn't praying out loud, but I found that fear was rising within me, and I found that fear absolutely debilitating. If anyone had tried to describe fear to me and say, you know, that fear just robs you of the ability to do any other thing and it just seems to just take over your whole being, I can understand that, because that's what was happening to me. And so I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to ask God to intervene in some way. I can't leave the two littlies on the beach by themselves, and I'm trying to pray. And then I just notice there's another person way out the back too. And I noticed them beginning to move over toward where I could just see Cameron's head bobbing up and down because of his blonde hair was so very clearly visible from a distance. Then I saw that person move right over to him, and I saw that person begin to bring him in. And you know, I can't express the incredible amount of relief that I felt. But I also can't describe adequately the sense of fear that filled me, and the fear that I could not get out there because of the little ones on the beach. Fear is a very real thing, and I want to share this morning a little bit about breaking fear. We have our next slide. I have noticed that one of the earliest emotions that we remember is the emotion of fear. And many of us don't remember the amazing love that a parent or parents may have shown us right from a very, very early age. But we do remember the fear. We remember perhaps if we couldn't sleep at night because we were concerned there was something in the room or something under the bed. And we remember maybe even asking that a light be left on. And I remember many years later hearing about night lights, a kind of dull light that many people kept on overnight because a child was very, very fearful. The ABC recently released the results of an Australia-wide survey. They shared it this week, looked into changes in our mental and emotional health over the past month. And it found that compared to just 1 month ago, the number of Australians feeling angrier had quadrupled. Four times as many Australians felt that because of the social isolation and everything going on, that the anger in their hearts had quadrupled, fourfold. The number feeling confused had increased more than fivefold. The number feeling lonely had more than tripled. The number feeling anxious had almost doubled. Then coming into what I want to touch on this morning, the number feeling despair almost five times higher, and the number feeling fearful had gone up three times. Three times as many Australians said that they were experiencing significant fear compared to the number of Australians that experienced significant fear only 1 month back. Beyond Blue, the Depression Helpline, said that over the last month their calls have increased 40% because people are finding that emotionally they're beginning to unravel. I know when COVID-19 was in its very early stages in Australia, there was a report that came out. I don't remember if it was a government report, but that report was saying that if there were no measures taken in Australia, if there was nothing done, and at that stage there was no talk about social isolation, there's no talk about people not being able to go out to shops or anything like that, but they had said that somewhere around 2/3 of Australia, now that is somewhere around 18 or 19 million people, would contract COVID-19. And they said that, now this is the part, they said 300,000 people, and I can't remember if they said at its peak it would be each day or each week, but they said 300,000 people at its peak would be contracting this awful, awful virus. And I remember as I heard that, I remember a shudder of fear went right through me. And I remember thinking, I have to deal with this, because the thought of that many people, and I'm thinking of different ones within our own family who have upper respiratory problems, and I'm thinking, how would they fare through something like this? But I knew I had to do something about the fear. I knew that I couldn't project that fear as I spoke about it. It was something that I did not want to do. So I knew I had to find a place of confidence in God, no matter what this thing would bring to our nation. So moving forward, it's been something that I have always seen, that when you move forward with God, it invariably means that you face a particular fear. And it means rising above that fear. Now, often we think, well, I know I've risen above the fear when the fear is gone. But it's not always that the fear goes, it's that something else has become greater than what the fear does. We have overcome the fear more than we've eradicated the fear. So, I don't think there's just one key to overcoming fear. I think there are many different keys, and I think God can bring to an individual believer a key that'll be a real key for them. It may not be a key for others, but a real key for them. But I want to just share with you this morning a little bit about David in the Old Testament. And a situation that brought fear, I think it would have brought a measure of fear to him. Certainly brought a great fear to the nation. So I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The story is the well-known one of David and Goliath. If you know the story, you know David has come down from his father, and he has brought food down to his older brothers who are amongst the Israelite army. I just want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm reading verses 23 and 24. It said, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. But then the next verse, verse 24 says, when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. They all ran from him in great fear. So this man brought tremendous fear to them. So what was David going to do? And now I just want to go through what I think are five keys from David's life. The first one is that we need to face our fears. In verse 26, again at the same chapter in the first part, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine, removes this disgrace from Israel? Now sometimes, and I've heard Christians say, well, what we need to do to get rid of fear, we just have to pretend the fear isn't there. But I don't think David pretended the fear wasn't there. I think David knew the fear was there. He faced the fear. And I don't think it's a healthy thing to just pretend that a fear isn't there. So the first thing David did was he faced his fear. The second thing he did in reading the second half of that same verse, where David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so David in his heart, he had a fear of God. Now I know in our day we try to perhaps water down the fear of God, and we make the fear of God a reverence for God, and I know that that's a massive element of the fear of God. But to me the fear of God goes a little bit further beyond just having a reverence for God. I think of some of the biggest failures in my own Christian life. And so often as I look back, particularly in my earlier Christian life, so many of those failures related to not having a sufficient fear of God. And very often the fear of man or some other fear overcame my fear of God. Thinking of a time when I was living in Launceston and going to a college down there. And I was down at the, on a Sunday night, I was posting a letter. It was the middle of winter, it was very, very cold in Launceston, still is. But you know, there were a group from the college, they'd just driven round to the post office and they were letting me just run up and post the letter. And then as I was posting the letter, I could hear someone running down the street. And I don't think they were running down because they were fearful, they were just running down the street, and I had the sense in my heart that the person was going to come into the area of the post office where I was posting my letter. And that I was to say something to them. I was to just interact with them. I was perhaps to just tell them that God loved them, or I don't know what. But you know, the sense of the fear of man became so great in me. And then when the other students in the car were calling out, "Come on, Jeff, hurry up, hurry up." And I allowed the fear of man to overcome whatever level of the fear of God was in me. Now sometime later, perhaps a year or so later, I was in another church, this time down in Hobart, and I had, before God in that intervening time, I'd really repented and said, "God, help me have a fear of you that's greater than my fear of man." I'd walked into this local church, and as I was just looking around, because I'd never been there before, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me to sit next to a particular person. Now, that was something that had never happened before, and can I say has never happened since. So I sat next to that person, and through the meeting, there was no interaction. There were the days before people greeted each other. Then at the end of the meeting, I just knew I had to say something to him, and I'm asking God. I said, "God, what will I say to him? I don't know what to actually say to him." And then I felt the Spirit say to him, "Ask him if he's a Christian." So I just turned to him, and without saying hello or anything, any of the niceties, I just asked him if he was a Christian. Then he said, "No, I'm not." Then I didn't know what to do next. And I'm asking God, "What do I do next? What do I do next?" God was very quiet all of a sudden. And so I just blurted out, "Would you like to become a Christian?" And he said, "Yes." Now I expected him to say no. But you know, I was able to just lead him in praying. I explained the gospel a little bit further to him, and I felt that it had been adequately shared through that meeting anyway. And then sometime later, someone who, again from the college I was in, went down to that church in Hobart, and they met this person, and that person had gone on with Christ from that moment. So they'd experienced a real conversion. But you know, what brought that was my own repentance, because I didn't have a sufficient fear of God. So the second thing I think David had was a fear of God. The third thing, I'm reading from verses 34 and 35. Said, and David is before King Saul. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. The lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from a flock. I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it and killed it." And he goes on to say, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear." And so what David was doing, he was going back and remembering the times that God had proven a faithful God to him. One of the areas that's been a low-level fear in my life has been the fear of not having financial security. It's something that came out of my childhood because of some things that I overheard with my own parents when I was very, very young. And all my working life, my wage has been on the lower end of the scale. And I began as a pastor. I actually began on $40 a week. That was with my wife and one child, living in a tiny, tiny little caravan in someone's front yard. And they gave us the caravan for free. We could live in the caravan. We had to use all the amenities in the house. So, and there were lots of other times, at times I've gone off wages and just had to trust God while just doing, fulfilling the ministry realm. And each of these areas have helped me learn to overcome this low-level fear. I remember when I was probably a middle-aged teenager, and we'd gone with other folk to an area, would have been in Sydney somewhere, where there was a water area, like a lake or something, and there was a bit of a cliff face above it. And I was watching people jumping off the top of that cliff face in, And probably looking back, I would think it might have been maybe 10 metres or it might have been a little bit higher than 10 metres from the top of the cliff face down. And I'm watching everyone jumping from that top part, and I'd gone to the top of the cliff face and I looked down and I simply couldn't do it. I couldn't face the jump. It just seemed too much. So I kind of made my way down the rocks to the bottom, and I first of all jumped in there. Then I just got up another metre higher and I jumped off from there. Now the kids who were jumping off the top, they were making fun of me. But then as I got a bit higher and I kept jumping in, my fear of the height got lesser and lesser and lesser. Within a very short time of joining those right up the top, jumping in, as I said, it was, even though I'd like to think it was a lot higher than 10 metres, probably for the age I was, 10 metres seemed a very, very high amount. But I didn't, right at the start, I couldn't take on that 10 metre jump. I had to learn, I had to gain the confidence of knowing that I could do it from less and a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. So I'm saying to you that one way to overcome, one key for David, was he remembered how God had intervened. Remembering what God has done for you in the past. What has greatly helped me has been journaling. And over many years I've been just writing down here and there. I don't journal every day. I may go a month, 2 months, 3 months without writing anything down, but then I'll begin to write things down. If there are scriptures that God has quickened to me in some way. When I say write them down, nowadays I actually type them out. But I found journaling helps me go back. And there are times I can go back and I can remember all the ways that God has led me. The next one, the fourth one out of the five, is to focus on God. Again, I'm reading from David's story in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword, spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth. The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves you, but for the battle is the Lord's. He will give all of you into our hands." Now, I don't think this was David's ego. I don't think David was big noting himself. And I don't think David was trusting in his own ability. I think his focus was on God. Remember the first time that I'd been asked to actually preach, and it was a church I'd gone to for the very, very first time that morning. It was a smaller church by today's standards, and the pastor came up to me after and introduced himself, and he had said to me, he said, "During the meeting I felt the Spirit of God speak to me that you were to speak here tonight." Now, I'd never spoken in a church, and it was something that just took me back so much. And in the afternoon, and I had a really heavy cold, and one of those awful colds where your nose just drips, it's just terrible. I felt terrible, and I kept kind of complaining to God that because of different things happening when I was much younger, I had a really bad stutter because of this speech impediment. I felt that I could not publicly speak, and I hated the thought of ever having to speak publicly. And I'm going through all these things, and in the midst of it, it's like the Spirit of God kept coming back. "It's not going to be you, it's going to be me. Not going to be you, it's going to be me." And I found it so hard to rise above myself. But when I stood up, and I tell you, my knees were knocking. It wasn't like I suddenly felt this surge of energy or this surge of confidence. But you know, I spoke, I probably told them everything I knew in about 9 or 10 minutes. And at the end of that time, I was so relieved that it was over. And then the family, a couple that had taken me to the meeting that night, they just said to me later, they said, "Do you know that when you spoke, you didn't stutter once? Not once." And it hadn't even dawned on me that through that time, the stutter had gone. But the battle was to put my focus on God and not on myself. The last one, hold on to God's promises. Now, I don't think, and I don't find in Scripture, a clear Scripture, that tells me that David had a promise about Goliath. But I know David was the kind of man who did not do, would not go ahead, would not make a decision without some sense in God. And I want to put to you, if you have suffered with great fears, that you ask God for promises. God is well able to give you promises. Promises that then you need to note down. You need to journal. You need to write them down somewhere. Thinking of a wonderful scripture in Psalm 34. It said, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. So God is the God who wants to deliver us from our fears. And I know the circumstances that we're surrounded by because of COVID-19 and the social isolation and the concern. I know we're over the top part of that curve. But I know that there are many people who still have very grave and very real fears. And I trust that even the few things that have been shared this morning, if you can take hold of, God can help you get free from your fears. The most repeated command in the Bible is fear not. We know, and it's so often said, 365 times, God says to His people, fear not. One for every day of the year. Fear not. He does not want us to be a fearful people. Does not want us to be disobedient to Him out of fear of man or other fears. He wants our reverence for Him, our fear of Him, to be stronger than every other fear. Fear, F-E-A-R. It can mean forget everything and run, or it can mean face everything and rise. And it's up to you. What are you going to do with that? I'm not trying to say your fears don't count. I'm not trying to say your fears aren't real. But I'm saying that God has a way to help you through your fears. I'm saying finally that Christ can walk with you through your fears. He can walk with you. Not pretending they're not there. He can walk with you. He can free you. He can deliver you. We're going to pray together. Father, I do pray for every person listening to this message. And Father, I do pray for those who are experiencing very real fear. Father, it may be fear because of what we're going through with COVID-19, or maybe all the other fears. Fears of animals, fears of the dark, fears of being in enclosed spaces, fears of being in open spaces. There are all kinds of different fears. I just believe that You're able to walk with us through our fears. You're able to deliver Your people. Father, I do pray that You would do that. I pray that You'd cause us to face our fears, God, to then allow You to walk with us through them. I just pray for everyone listening to this message who is experiencing fear, for Your Spirit to deliver them and to set them free. I pray this in the precious, lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. So thank you for joining with us this morning. And I'd love to think that next Sunday morning at the same time, you can join with us again. Don't forget, at 11 this morning, we'll have the cross to Vicky as she leads us in children's ministry. So again, thank you, and God bless you.